is, who's heard of George Wishart? Hands up. Okay, then. Only the name. Okay, then. That's more than most people. Okay, so we're going to learn about George, one of my great heroes of faith. Now, we'll do this. We'll look at the Wesleys and Times. We'll look at the great hymn writers, you know, we've got. And we'll only do it every few months. I don't want to bore you with stuff that I find exciting. But the Bible talks about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And we should know what our heritage is. We should know why we believe and what has been handed down to us. And because our politics, our government, our society has been shaped by these great saints. Okay, then, our Christian heritage has been shaped by that. And if we forget about them, I think that's a tragedy. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything off that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us. We, particularly in the United Kingdom, our land has been made so much better by men and women of faith, women who have modeled and defended the faith down through the centuries. And I think it behoves us to learn from them, to study their lives and to appreciate what they have given, some of them their very own lives. I trying to avoid the history side of it, and I want to move more to Pastor Wishart's prophecy and his pastoral heart. I want to keep focused on that. Most of us will be aware a little bit of that. Really, what began is the European Reformation in Germany, which was really a reaction by Martin Luther to try and redress some of the abuses, clerical abuses that was going on in the church, the selling of indulgences and pastoral abuse and the control of power. And it was never Luther's intention for the Reformation to take the shape that it had taken. He merely, as a young student, wanted to bring to debate why these things were allowed to happen under the auspices of a church. And the posting of his 57th thesis, those questions that he asked, was obviously during the printing press came in, was just at the timing of that, meant that the Reformation really became an explosion, really, not just of spiritual reform, but of social reform, because it caused lots of other people to ask lots of questions, and it impacted the empire and the German government as it made its way through Austria and into the United Kingdom and abroad. The English Reformation was a bit of an oddity, because the English Reformation was really based on a very shrewd political move, because Henry VIII wanted a divorce, essentially, and he said, if you don't give me a divorce to the Pope, then we're off. Okay, then. And it was back and forth from that between Catholicism and Protestantism, and time doesn't allow me to go into that today. The Scottish Reformation, to say it wasn't wrapped up in politics would be ridiculous, but to say that its focus had a clarity of thought concerning the Word of God and to do with real reform, not just politically, but within the church, it can't be underestimated. And the head of that movement can't be underappreciated in any way. And his name was George Wishart. He was a teacher, just a secondary school teacher, an ordinary teacher in a high school. But he was a very learned man. And he was the first person in Scotland to teach his students biblical Greek. That didn't go down too well, as we will discover. But he just thought, if these guys are going to learn what the Bible says, they have to learn Greek. And so he started, it was teaching them the Greek alphabet and teaching them Greek words and teaching them Greek vocabulary. And that was incredibly unusual in a Scottish school. And eventually, as the printing press came in, he managed to get his hands on some Greek New Testaments, and he was giving those New Testaments out to his parishioners as well. Well, he wasn't actually a pastor, he was a teacher, but to people in his church, he was basically saying, if anybody wants to learn Greek, you can come to my classes that I'm holding. Because he was handing out those New Testaments, he was holding to the church council, and he was really labelled a heretic. As a consequence of that, he had to flee to Switzerland. And he came under the counsel of John Calvin. And he really became a student of the European movement and reform that was going on there. Eventually, as things slackened off, he came back to Cambridge, became a professor in Cambridge. And eventually, the king, who there was obviously a lot of politics going on between Scotland and England, and the king wanted Wishart to come back to Scotland, partly to conduct his son's Edward's wedding in Scotland, because he eventually wanted Edward to become king of Scotland. And so he wanted to get Wishart back, who then had become, through his learning and through his movement, he had become very, very well known. And Henry really thought, well, if we get this guy on our side, then we can take this thing forward. That's the political background to it. Things were very, very, very volatile in Scotland, swinging between English and Scottish government and between English reform and Catholicism of the church. And it was very difficult from one week to another to know which camp you were going to be in. And so if you were an advocate of the Reformation, you really needed to have a bodyguard. Honestly, you did. And George Wishart took on a young man called John Knox to become his bodyguard. Now, we've all heard of John Knox, haven't we? So John Knox, the great reformer of faith in Scotland, okay then, and you'll find John Knox's statue outside, the cathedral. But actual fact, he started as a bodyguard to Wishart, okay then. And so John would go around with his big sword, looking after his lord and his master. And John Knox said of Wishart, he is not only a singularly godly and learned man, but is clearly illuminated by the spirit of prophecy. And it's that statement that I want to hang on to today, and it's that statement that I want to ask us as a church where we are prophetically today. I've given you just a little bit of history, and hopefully for those who like that kind of thing, it's been some interest to you. But during the 1544 and the years that followed, George Wishart began to preach the gospel with great gusto. His great exposition on the Book of Romans meant that the great cathedral in Dundee was packed to capacity every single week. And I mean every single week. And it wasn't unusual for people to try and to rise up and take the life while people were preaching, and to attack them and to shout abuse at them in the middle of their sermon. And John Knox was his protector and the man that was commissioned to look after him. This character here behind me, Cardinal Beaton. Cardinal Beaton was, by any standard of appreciation, not a very pleasant man. And Cardinal Beaton made it his life's mission that he was going to get Wishart and that he was going to bring him down, whatever means possible. He deplored the Reformation, and he deplored particularly Wishart's preaching because hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people were coming to hear Richard. And that incensed the cardinal because he himself was hated and disliked. And so the jealousy that rose up in his heart, and he was determined in his heart to bring him down. He was the Archbishop of St. Andrews, just the next county, of course, from Dundee. When Beaton heard about the success of Wishart's preaching, he managed to get the city council together. And at the end of one of his sermons, the city magistrates came into the church and basically said that he had to leave town, okay then, and not come back. And he was, at the end of his sermon, firmly ejected from the city, just literally marched out of the city by the city councillors. And I just want to focus a little bit on the prophetic side of Wishart. This is what he says to the city magistrates. God is my witness. I have never desired trouble, but only your comfort. And when I am gone, if it at all be well with you, and if I am not led by the Spirit of truth, but if trouble come upon you, remember this is the cause, and turn to God and repent, because God is merciful. Now, those words were duly noted, because 4 days later, the plague broke out in the city, and hundreds of people began to die from the plague. And it absolutely freaked out the magistrates, and they called George back to come and to pray for the city. And he arrived back, and he basically prayed healing over the city. And from that prayer, the plague began to abate again, and people began to get better. And we're talking about the city of Dundee here. It's a staggering account of this man's prophetic insight that the plague broke out because the magistrates threw him out of the city, and he was conscious of it. And this was not the only prophetic insight, but this fact alone just gives me the shivers and just thinks to myself, what did this guy know about the workings of God that we didn't? And we live in a very kind of lovey-dovey, Christian-y type of God loves everybody. And praying God's displeasure over a city might not go down so well in this modern age. But there was no messing with George Wishart's understanding and the blessing of God that he carried. Beaton was incensed, and he tried to have him assassinated on a number of occasions, and they paid a priest eventually to go and to kill him during the night. And the priest had taken the silver and had made his way towards George Wishart in account of being his friend. But Wishart looked into his eyes and said, "My friend, what would you have do with me?" And the priest, being so terrified, fell to his knees and confessed his intention and craved the pardon of the prophet. Such was the fear of God that came upon him. Their second assassination came when a cardinal had sent a letter to Wishart saying that he was in desperate need and would he come and pray for his family. Laird of Kinnair, would he come quickly because his son was dying of sickness? But the assassinator was waiting on the side, and Wishart said, "I will not go. I am not forbidden of God. I am assured that there is treason at hand. Let some of you go to yonder place and tell me what you find there." I know my life shall end at this bloodthirsty man's hands, but it will not be tonight. It will not be tonight. Okay, then. He carried with him the spirit of prophecy. And wherever he went, just people came and they got saved in their hundreds. He was able to declare the counsel of God while politics was running amok, really, in England from one monarch to the other. Wishart, who was the pioneer of the Scottish Reformation, and of course his great legacy would have been John Knox himself, who was to take on, and Knox cried for this not to happen. But Wishart saw in him this great opportunity. On one night of constant prayer, he stayed up all night. And in the morning, over breakfast, he said, "There is something pressing upon me, and I am sure that my warfare is almost at an end. And therefore, I ask you to pray with me. And please, when I am gone, do not shrink when the battle is most hot." Wishart was eventually arrested in Leith near Edinburgh. And he was taken and he was imprisoned in Edinburgh Castle, awaiting his trial for treason. Eventually, he was transported to the castle in St. Andrews. People were pleading with him to recant of his faith, but he just refused to do it. On the fateful evening of the execution, March 1st, 1546, the captain of the castle invited Wishart for breakfast. He gave him bags of gunpowder to hide under his clothing so that his execution would be quick. When he was eventually brought out into the area of execution, his executioner came to him and said, "Sir, would you forgive me?" And Wishart drew him close and he said, "I forgive you, sir. Do your work." And the man lit the fire. Wishart cried out, "The flames have scorched my body, but they have not daunted my spirit." But before he died, he made one important prophecy. Just in the castle walls, Cardinal Beaton was standing at the window laughing as Wishart gave up his life. And as Wishart was dying, he pointed to the window, to the yonder place, that man who looks with such pride will in a few days lie dead at the very same spot. Just 2 weeks later, the reformers took the castle and they took Cardinal Beaton and they threw him out of the very window that he was laughing at. And the dogs came and licked very biblically the blood of Wishart's body, of Beaton's body. Before Pastor Wishart died, he prayed over John Knox and gave him the mantle to lead the Reformation, and John Knox pleaded with him for it not to happen. But it was to be, and John Knox then took the Reformation and led it into one of the most ecclesiastical changes of reform that the Church of Scotland have ever seen. To this day, the spot where Wishart fell is marked on the road, the words GW, that still remain there to this day. The cobblestones are marked where Pastor Wishart fell. And I suppose what I come to today, And it's of interest to me, just both in my home nation, and I love history. But I sometimes think about what it is God wants to do through each of us in our individual lives. These great men of faith who laid down their lives so that we could have God's counsel, so that we could worship freely, so that we could have Jesus Christ as the Lord of the church. I suppose I ask, what difference are we making in this day of plurality and spiritual nominalism? What it is God trying to say to us prophetically? And if I think of Pastor Wishart's desire to hear God's voice and what impact he made in the town that he pastored, and what difference we as a church are making here in the city of York. And I think that's important to God, because I don't think God wants us to go around in our merry way and just, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be. But God has raised us up to make a difference, even if it's a difference in your world, to be God's voice in a world where his voice perhaps is not heard so well. That will lead me to another time to talk about the gift of prophecy. And I think we, even within the context of a charismatic movement, have become a little bit skeptical and afraid, because there have been so many crazy things done in the name of prophecy. And we want to play safe now. But what is the word of the Lord? The tribe of Issachar understood the times and they knew what Israel should do in their season. King David wanted to see the kingdom of God manifest in his generation. And I want our hearts to be stirred by these great saints of old, to say, if they can make a difference in their day, why can't we? Is that fair enough? God doesn't want us to play safe. God wants us to live on the edge and to hear his voice and to go out into the world. There is a way to do that through love and through kindness and through grace. But there should be intention to be ambassadors of God's reconciliation, and to not hold back, and to take up the mantle, to not only to live for Jesus, but to die for him too. Because unless we're prepared to take up the cross, how can we be his disciple? So I just hope that small piece of information about somebody that most of you hadn't heard of, that you'll just think about that, and there's great English reformers, and in the months to come, we'll pick them out, and we'll see what they can teach us in our journey. So thanks so much for listening to that. I'm going to ask Tony and Neil if these guys would come back up, and we'll stand. And Don, could you just put up the main lights just now? The songs are a wee bit brighter for us. Bless you. Thank you, Don. And Father, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that for sure, here in our own island. Men who lived and died for the gospel. And for that we are grateful. And I just ask you, God, now that you will inspire us to have our particular heroes, to go and have another look at them and find out why, and to follow their example. Lord, we bless you this morning, particularly as we get ready to delve into the book of John, that you'll help us to continue to grow in the faith by your word and by these saints of old. So bless us now and keep us as we sing our closing song, for we ask you in Jesus' name.